When I'm home, I don't want to run errands or have to figure out a meal plan, especially because I have kids. That's why Blue Apron is a great solution. Their chef-designed recipes are easy to follow and give you a balanced, delicious meal. Blue Apron is a quick and easy way to make high-quality meals that everyone can enjoy. Use promo code LIARS to get $30 off your first order. Blue Apron, take back dinner. Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Liars Club. I'm Felicia Michaels.
And I'm Jessica Wellington.
And what we do here at the Liars Club, if this is your first time tuning in, is if we have some of our comedy pals come on and we ask them to tell two stories. One is the truth, one is a lie. And then we will dissect your story. People online will ask questions. If you're watching live on YouTube, leave your answers and all that. And Austin will read what you've written. And what else we got shaking there, Jessica?
You know what, Pete? Let Austin introduce Pete real quick.
Across from me, you have seen this gentleman on Comedy Central and on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. This is Mr. Pete Lee.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Very nice to meet you. I'm so excited to meet you because I've heard your name around comedy circles for like ever. And it's very cool to meet you.
This is great to be on this show. I was commenting on how official this is. There's a control room. This is a soundproof room. I know. This is amazing.
It's not quite soundproof, but it looks like it is.
The appearances hold up. I like it.
Well, they have a glue gun, and they're not afraid to use it.
I was going to say, Pete, you seem like a really nice guy, okay?
I'm
like,
very nice. Yeah.
Super nice. Don't give in up on these lies, okay?
All right.
So we're going to try to get at you. Do not cave.
You're going to lawyer me?
Yes, we are. We're going to good cop, bad cop you.
And so will the people online.
Yeah, so will they. Yeah.
But here's the problem is that that's like my whole personality is caving. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's why I was like, you know what? Let me do a little warning.
You get all like PTSD when one person fucking caves. Like we've had three people cave, I think.
No, we've had more than that now.
No, three people cave.
Sarah.
Oh, yeah.
Kristen.
Okay.
Dylan.
Oh, Dylan did. Yeah.
Lucas Hurl. Yeah.
Oh, we've had a lot. Yeah.
A lot of cavers.
A lot of cavers.
Don't join that club.
A lot of spelunkers. I won't be a spelunker in that caving.
Well, so why don't we jump right into it and start off with one of your first stories.
One of my first stories. Uh-huh. The reason why I had my phone out before is because I was at the gym earlier, obviously, and I wrote down some stories. This is my first one. So I was at the Comedy Cellar in New York, and I'm sitting at the cellar table, and Dave Chappelle walks in, and I've never met him before. Like to other people, it's kind of like old hat, you know, like, oh, it's Dave, whatever. He lights a cigarette indoors, and this is like 2 years ago when you can't smoke at all. And
by the way, when he lights a cigarette, I don't even like smokers. It's kind of fucking sexy. The way Chappelle lights a cigarette, it's so, like, you know, just where you're like, damn, that motherfucker knows how to light a cigarette, right? Yeah. Am I wrong?
Because he does it slow.
Deliberately, but not conscientiously. Yeah.
He takes a slow draw, you know, almost like a 1970s movie star. He's not worried about time or anything like that. But I'm eating dinner. Chappelle comes and sits down right across from me. And he's
where are you at again?
At the Comedy Cellar.
But you're above in the.
I'm in the Olive Tree at the comics table.
Right. And do they serve dinner?
Yeah,
below.
Yes, they do. Well, not below.
Not down below, but on top. Yeah.
All right. See, this is the first hole that you're trying to poke. Yeah. And I'm not caving. I feel so strong right now. My gum started. I have my gum in my cheek because I didn't know where to put it. Uh-huh. And this is not a lie, by the way, but it started slipping down, and I said, I stayed so strong.
That's okay. I couldn't say glue gun. It's all
glue
right.
Glue gun. But anyway, he lights a cigarette, and then I was like, Dave, he goes, hi. He was like, I'm Dave, and I was like, I'm Pete. And I was like, nice to meet you, Dave. And he goes, and he lights a cigarette, and I was like, Dave, can you smoke indoors in New York City? And he goes, Dave Chappelle can smoke anywhere he wants. And I was like, all right, respect. That's pretty cool. And he was like, do you want a cigarette? And I was like, no. Like, I would humiliate myself. Plus, like, I'm afraid of Esty, so I didn't want, you know, I don't want to be smoking on their cameras and have
Esty
to be like,
exactly.
You know, Pete, Dave can smoke. You cannot, you know, you're banned. So... Anyway, he's like, we're sitting across from each other, and he goes, do you like parties, Pete? And I was like, yeah, I love parties, Dave. And he goes, do you want to come to my party on Tuesday? And I was like, I would love to come to your party. And this is like Friday. And then we just like have like small talk, and he gets up and walks away. And I was like, but Dave, I was like, how do I know when your party is, or how, I was like, how do I get the details? And he goes, don't worry, I'll take care of it. And I was like, where, and he just like walked out. He didn't even do a set, nothing like that. And then later on that night, Val from the Comedy Cellar, she came up to me and was like, hey, Dave told me to put you on the party. So we go to this party. It's at the Box. Have you guys ever been to the Box in New York City? All right. The Box is this crazy burlesque club that like rich people can pay like $5,000 to go there and see like crazy shows.
Oh, sure it is. You could tell us anything at this point. We both said we don't know what the Box is.
Like what kind of shows? Like just burlesque shows or just like people having sex together or dungeon or?
Well, I'll say that the opening act, so Dave went up and gave a speech. And the opening act was a lady that queefed fire out of her pussy.
Oh, my God. Holy
like,
shit.
That's the that was act one of, like, four acts. And
please describe that. How did she do that?
She poured, like, you know, like a fire breather? Uh-huh. She basically poured that into her.
So was she on a stool with her legs up?
She did a whole, like, nasty show before it, and then she, like, got on the ground and, like, basically spread her legs and blew the fire, like, at the crowd.
Did she have to light it? Light it with, like a barbecue grill thing?
Yeah. How did she squirt it in?
She literally, like got, like, have you ever seen Big Lebowski where she's trying to get pregnant and she kind of, like, arches up so that the sperm will go in?
Yeah.
She kind of did that and then poured the bottle in there.
And it was and it a what fire. Kind of bottle was it? Was it like a?
It was like a bar vodka type bottle, but I'm sure it wasn't vodka.
Okay, so it wasn't lighter fluid. Okay, yeah, it was vodka.
It was whatever fire breathers use, but she breathed fire out of her.
You're assuming because you don't really know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, then I ran into Dave right after that, and he's like, "Thanks for coming to my party, Pete." And I was like, "This is insane." And there were a lot of comedians that were invited. That's my story of meeting Dave Chappelle.
Wow.
You partied with Dave.
I partied with Dave Chappelle, yeah.
Well, just for a second, let's put that to the side. My question is, like, how many times you got to practice to be able to queef out a fucking fireball? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm totally serious. Like, do you try it with different kind of alcohol? Do you?
Right.
Yeah.
Are the odds of it going inward?
Was her vagina clean shaven?
Yeah, it was actually.
Okay.
Yeah. And she was,
Or it'd been burn off.
Yeah.
Was it scarred up?
Her vagina looked like Fire Marshal Bill from Living Color.
Yes. Mine kind of looks like that when I'm dehydrated. I mean, come on now.
You're saying that because you've been in Las Vegas all week?
Yes.
That's so funny when I'm dehydrated.
Drink some water, please. I
know. Wow. So any thoughts on people are sharing online there?
Leah said, it's usually a good sign when the guest starts her story with, this is not a lie. So probably pretty legit there.
I sense sarcasm in this one.
Hostetter said, gonna break him down like Grandpappy's shotgun. So I don't know if that's a threat or just saying that he's gonna keep him honest.
Right. I was trying to do that, hence the Fire Marshal Bill vagina outcome.
And Promo Motion said, of course, Felicia is fascinated by the Box.
My apologies.
Well, what else? What other acts did you see that night?
There was a lady that she went out on a swing, like she would swing out into the audience, but just like fully naked again. There was an act where the guy like literally like it was like the cheerleading kind of things, but like the guy basically like had his hand in her pussy and like was propping her up through that. That was pretty wild. That was act three.
What?
Yeah, it was the craziest stuff.
He was
and
fisting her.
Yeah.
Inside and
not
holding
fisting, because then but just well, you like a bowling a, ball, like a bowling ball.
Like a bowling ball. Like he had his thumb in there.
Yeah, you can't fist.
He's just like a.
Wow.
What are you fisting her?
Yeah. That was a part of like a whole Cirque du Soleil contortionist slash like, you know, when like it'll be like two brothers that do like strength moves with each other.
And for sure, fingers were in her hee-haw.
Oh yeah, that was kind of the main key to what made it special.
Right.
It was like an Instagram couple, but you know that like does bed yoga, but with
wow.
Pete, are you religious?
No, I was raised by a religious father, but I'm not religious. But are you religious?
Very. This is a religious podcast. I
think that I'm spiritual and I'm one of those nuts that believes in the universe and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. But I'm not like into one religion, I guess you could say.
It's hard to think of a guy or a person with your accent not being religious.
I know. Well,
don't you know?
Oh, yeah.
What is that like? So that was like Mary Poppins. That didn't sound like him at all.
You know what I mean? Minnesotian.
Yeah, I have a vibe to me of like, if I don't smile at everyone, God will catch me.
Yeah.
You know? But this is just who I am. I don't get it either. But my mom was like a huge atheist, and my dad is like Ned Flanders. Mm-hmm. Like he's like the holiest, sweetest, best person on the planet.
That's why you got it. The mix. Dude.
Yeah.
Let me bring it back to Dave Chappelle. Like, are you guys pretty friendly now, or did you ever say, "Whoa, that was a crazy party"? Or
yeah, I got to thank him. We were at the Comedy Cellar brunch, and and he was like laying down in the booth. Like, I don't know if he had a hard night or what, but he was just like laying down. And then I was talking to Nikki Glaser and Michael Che. I got there and I'm talking to them for like 20 minutes. And then all of a sudden Dave just like sits up and he's like, "Hey, Pete Lee, can you pass the orange juice?" And I was like, "Holy fuck, it's Dave Chappelle." But I didn't say that because I've been working on being cooler. And then I was like, "Here's the orange juice, Dave Chappelle." Uh-huh. And then I was like, "By the way, thank you for inviting me to your party." He's like, "How'd you like the party?" And I was like, "Oh, it was pretty great." Like, cause I didn't know what to say. I didn't want to be like, I liked it when that lady shot fire out of her hoo-ha. Yeah.
So was there food at that party? Just drinks.
There were just drinks. I don't believe that there was food at the party.
Did you take anyone with you to the party?
I did. I took my ex-girlfriend to the party and she got mad because she wanted to leave at like act two. And she was like a pretty down person for anything, but on this occasion, she didn't really like that it was like a sex show.
Because were there men other than the guy with the bowling ball?
No,
I don't know how to describe that.
That was really the only guy that got incorporated into the show.
Yeah, that's what made me think they should have at least had some finger foods.
I feel like they do serve food at the box. Aww. Like if you want to.
She's got a tooth pulled. So I'm all like, "You tried. It was so cute. You came. You tried."
I like finger foods. I liked that one.
No,
like,
it was awesome. Yeah, I'm being serious. I like that one a lot.
Yeah.
I'm being serious. Well, that Michael, what do you think? Michael Evans, our other on-air producer besides Austin Walker here. What do you think about Pete's story?
I mean, so far, he was too quick. He was so quick to answer. What were the other acts? I mean, that felt pretty natural.
Yeah, he went right 1, 2, 3.
It's hard to just say you don't believe this going down because you don't know. You wonder what goes on when people get to hang out with Dave Chappelle and it's like, wow, I guess this is what they're doing. You know, and that wasn't even the headliner. That was the chick that did the Kakui Fire. That wasn't even like the top dog act.
That wasn't even the headliner.
Holy shit. What were they doing?
Yeah, I wonder if there are open mics for people to go practice that in front of.
Yeah, I don't even know how you develop your act. Yeah. I know. I wonder if she walked into like an old-timey talent agent's office and displayed that. The agent was like, "You got moxie, kid."
Yeah. I'm going to need some pizzazz, though. She's seen that shit 12 times that day.
Yeah.
So wait, what was like the headline? Who went last and how cool was that?
Well, the headlining act... I honestly don't remember what the headlining act was because I think that that's when that's when I got into a fight with my ex-girlfriend. So like I think that I didn't even get to stay for the full thing because of that. I was also very high. Like I was like really very high towards the end.
Uh-huh.
And then it was like time to go and drunk, very drunk.
Right, right.
So I don't think that I saw the last act.
And how many years ago was this?
This was like 2 years ago, I believe.
Is that right when the Me Too thing started.
Yeah, this was like the Me Too hadn't flared up in full effect yet.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I think it probably would be pretty scandalous. Every year in New York, Dave has this thing called the Comedians Ball, and he just wants to treat the comedians to something that they wouldn't be able to afford otherwise.
Yeah.
He could buy us health care. But instead, we see fire out of a hoo-ha.
Right.
But yeah, I remember at one point in the party, Questlove was there, and I had just done the Tonight Show, and like he told me that I could call him Amir instead of Questlove. And so I was standing by him, and I was like, hey, Amir. And he looked
at me. Hey, Mr. Amir.
Yeah, hey, Mr. Amir. And he looked at me like, I have no idea who you are. And then I reminded him, and then everything was cool. But yeah.
All right.
Pete, do you have a girlfriend now?
I do. Yeah, she's great. Yeah.
How long have you been with her?
I've been with her for about a year.
Is there a reason for that, yeah. Jessica?
I've been with her for about a year. We live together down in West Hollywood. She's a therapist, a psychiatric nurse practitioner and stuff.
Did you meet her when you were a patient?
No. No, I actually met her on an airplane. I was flying to L.A. to have sex with Nikki Glaser. Because we had finally made up from the story. Because I'll retell the first part of that story. So Nikki and I dated like a long, long time ago when we were like 20 somethings. And then I didn't know her well enough to know that it was her birthday. And I broke things off with her on her birthday.
That's who you broke? Because I heard the last part of that story. Are you serious?
Yeah, so...
the sweetest, nicest lady in the world. Yeah. And then this little clumsy...
Wow, with your Minnesota accent? She had to fucking eat that dick with your Minnesota accent? Yeah. Jesus Christ. She must have been, what the fuck?
So... so basically here's the problem is that I should have patched it up within like the first 2 weeks of it. And then I didn't, I was prideful. And then I tried to patch it up kind of soon after that. And then over the next 10 years, like we would just be somewhere. I'd be like, Nikki, can we talk? She'd be like, never, fuck you. Like I would bring her up on stage at the Stand and like shake her hand and be like, you know, hey, like I'd be hosting and I'd be like, Nikki, can we talk sometimes? She'd be like, fucking never. And she just didn't want to talk. And then finally, like 11 years later, we sat down and had like a good talk and cry.
Right.
And then now she's one of my best friends.
Why did you break up with her? Can I ask that? Was it because she was too good for you?
Well, she was. at the time, I was dating somebody, and I was dating her at the same time. And they both knew about one another because it was like very early. And I chose the other one. I ended up marrying the other one.
Oh, so, yeah. I've heard Nikki tell this.
Yeah. So then the other girl, she said, hey, like, I don't care what happened. Just don't be friends with her. So that was why I didn't follow up, because I thought I was being a good guy to this girl. And then when her and I got divorced, we got divorced. And then I just was like, you know what? I need to patch things up with Nikki. And then it took a year of asking her to sit down and talk for her to go yes.
You know? Oh, very cool.
Yeah. So I was like one of those like Me Too guys, except for with an apology. You know, I was like, come on, just let me apologize to you. Come on, I just want to get you.
Well, you know, I dated this guy who I was like so in love with. And then, and it was one of those where he broke up with me, dated someone way, way, way younger. And I had to come to this point where I was just like, because I was so heartbroken, where I was like, they don't teach little girls and little boys just how to be friends.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you think like that if you're with someone and you break up that you shouldn't be friends, or you shouldn't recognize that maybe that's what the attraction was just friendship, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's a big thing to get to that point in life. I know Austin's like, because he's 25, he's like, whatever. But when you hit your 30s and stuff, that you just get more conscientious about stuff like that.
Yeah, if I would have known everything that I know now back then, I would have known how to patch it up with her and, you know, say I'm sorry. And but I was stupid. I was in my mid-20s. I had never been to therapy before. I didn't know how to apologize to somebody. I was just like, whatever. She sucks, I guess. And okay. It turned out I sucked. You know, it's my fault. But yeah, now she's one of my best friends. So she... I got out of another relationship, like my rebound after the marriage. And then Nikki called me up and she was like, hey, fly to LA. Let's hook up. She's like, I need some dick. Hook up. You're safe. You know, like you're a safe guy. You're a clean guy, whatever. And I got on the plane and I sat down next to my now girlfriend. And yeah.
All right. So now I'm glad that I know this.
Did you start your second story or is this?
I don't know.
No.
Straight up truth.
But do you see the information that we pulled from this to gain from that? His story, right?
Yeah.
So his story was that he got in an argument with his girlfriend at the end. He didn't see the headlining act. I now can believe that because he doesn't have a great track record with women.
Oh, very true. Very true. All right. Well, let's move on to that second story. Now that we got the drama out all of right. you, let's move on to so that the, second story.
So the second story, so it happened a week ago. It was my birthday. I was out surfing with Becky Robinson. Do you know Becky Robinson?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes.
She was surfing in character as one of her characters, Alan Gingrich. No, I'm kidding. She's surfing up to people going, I'm overstimulated. But we go out surfing. So it was Annie Letterman, my girlfriend, Jamie, Becky, and I. But Annie and Jamie stayed on the beach. And so Becky and I were out in the water. And we've been out for about an hour. And the thing that you need to know is that I've had a lot of shark encounters in my life. I've had a shark. I've had a lot of shark encounters.
A lot of sharks in Wisconsin. Well,
I've been surfing for a while, and I also used to do open water swims when I did triathlons. And so, I'm sitting there, and Becky had just caught a wave. It's my birthday.
We're at on the west.
We're at Sunsets, like right by Malibu Farms in Malibu, and there's this like cute girl in this bikini who's like surfing, right? And like, of course I'm noticing her, but I'm not like,
look at you.
I'm not on the market.
You see this track record we got going here?
Just give him the benefit of the doubt. Yeah. Okay.
So we're all kind of waiting in line because like surfers, you kind of wait in line to catch the wave. Well, Becky just caught one. So she's paddling back. And by the way, she's also using my two surfboards. So I bought a surfboard for my girlfriend. She hasn't really been into surfing. And so we have this, Becky and I have the same surfboard out here in the water. They're these like wood grained surfboards, whatever. So this girl in the bikini, she comes up to get behind me in line and then she starts a conversation. And I'm like, and I can see Becky paddling towards me. And of course I'm like, all right, this is going to be kind of a funny thing because like this girl is kind of flirting with me and then Becky's coming up and Becky kind of looks like she's my girlfriend at this point because we have the same surfboard, we know each other, whatever. So Becky and I make eye contact and Becky starts being like, hey babe, how's it going? She just sees what's happening and she's trying to cock block me.
Uh-huh.
And I'm I'm just like laughing and this girl gets like so awkward. Like she gets so awkward that she tries to catch the wave and go in even though it's not her turn. She just like bolts. So Becky and I are out there laughing. And I'm sitting on my board like this and the next thing I know, I feel a big entity just brush my leg slowly. Like if this mic stand is my leg, the thing goes bump, and then it just goes like that. And I'm like, oh, shit, what the fuck is this? I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, Becky, there's a shark. I'm like, Becky, there's a shark. And she starts freaking out. I start freaking out. I don't know what to do. I'm like, how about I just get up on my board, like, so that, like, I have no appendages, right? And so she's doing the same thing.
Oh, no.
And we're just, like, hanging out on our boards, like, freaking out, and we can see something. And then we're just freaking out. There's no waves. There's no sets coming in that we could try to paddle into. Also, if there was, the waves were kind of steep. We don't want to fall off. So we're just freaking the fuck out. And then the next thing we knew, probably like 50 feet away, we see dolphins. And dolphins always protect surfers. So like all of a sudden the shark just like goes away. And the dolphins kind of are like just playing and whatever. And then Becky and I were like, should we stay out? Like, do we just stay out? So we stayed out for like another hour. And then the whole time we were like, that was fucking crazy. Like we just had a shark encounter and then we were saved by dolphins. It was nuts.
Wow. It's interesting always when you meet someone for the first time and they tell two stories and you know one is a lie. Because the first story, it felt like we had to pull the information out of you. Or the second story, you gave so much information, like little subtle things.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's interesting, like, which one, though, is his pattern of lying?
Would you mind rolling up one of your sleeves for me?
Yes.
Why?
I just want to make sure he didn't have a farmer's tan, and this tan was a fake.
A legitimate tan.
Like, you know,
Jesus Christ. That was like a Law and Order or some shit this time.
But my surf wetsuit goes down to here. I have a full arm and then shorts.
And you wear that all the time?
Oh, yeah.
So you you couldn't feel the shark's skin because you had a surf
wetsuit. Well, he had shorts on, though.
No, but it did it on this part of my leg, so I could feel the skin. It felt kind of rough.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It felt kind of rough. It was like, but it was, I went in red afterwards because, of course.
Did you see a fin?
I never saw the fin, but we saw. So the water's probably like 4 feet deep, and then mm-hmm. there's rocks, uh-huh. and we saw the shape of the fish swimming around us, and that's what we were freaking out about, but never a fin.
Well, you guys are both from Florida, so they would go in 4 feet water, right? Sharks, right?
Well, we don't really have a lot of, well, we have more these days. Yeah, the
Atlantic coast now, there's a lot, but really, like, but it's not so much a problem for us in Florida. It's
But you can have, they will go into 4 foot. Like, we have, like, what are they, nurse sharks, right?
Yeah. Yeah, New Smyrna Beach, and, like, over there, they get a lot of surfers.
We have manatees, and they're way cooler.
Yeah, you just kind of chill with them.
Yeah.
Or catch bacteria in the Gulf of Mexico.
What does anyone say online about this story?
Ken Lofgren does not believe it at all. He said the way the last story led into a huge ADD rabbit hole, and this one did not seem to, that
right?
This one seemed less believable. Hostetter, I'm reading this right off the hot off the presses here. Hostetter said, did he get his start on Lake Wobegon?
That's so funny. Do you know what Lake Wobegon is?
Yeah, it's like a series of shows that, what was it?
Garrison Keillor. Yeah,
dude.
Yeah.
So this long story kind of format kind of stuff. Yeah. Yeah, with your and the voice. The mm-hmm. voice, yeah.
When I first started doing stand-up, I was like pretty dirty, and my mom came to a show, and she's like, Peter, I wish you could be more like Garrison Keillor. You need to be more witty and have longer stories.
Well, you achieved it.
Yeah, I achieved it. Now
you
I've done
achieved it.
Yeah, now I did it.
In regards to the first story, Hostetter, who is king of retracted messages, by the way, sometimes he throws up a comment and deletes them before
oh,
I can
really?
Read them.
Oh, really?
So I'm dying to know what those say. But he almost believes that the Dave Chappelle story was true because of what Chappelle did in Dayton this last week. Mm-hmm. But I suggested maybe that's how he contrived the story, because Chappelle's in the news. So,
right. Well, I know because I follow, as all of us do here, I'm sure, Annie Letterman on Instagram, who has like one of the best Instagrams ever. And I did see her at the beach in a bathing suit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. But she would do that anyway.
Yeah.
Yep. My With girlfriend took that picture.
What if it was just a seal?
Mm-hmm.
If he's lying about that, I'm like, wow, that's fucking, you're smooth.
We went to Laguna Beach two weeks ago, I think it was, and a seal just came like right up to everybody, just swam right by everybody. So what if it was just a seal or something?
Yeah.
I don't think that it was a seal. It was definitely a fish. It was definitely a fish. I'm 99% sure it was a shark. And it was not a dolphin, because the...
And why are sharks afraid of dolphins? Do you know that by any chance?
Dolphins protect surfers all the time from sharks. Usually if you see, like, almost every time that I go out surfing in Santa Monica or in Malibu, you'll see dolphins. And they're usually hanging out by you, or they hang out by surfers, because we're mammals, they're mammals. They can sense, like, they do sonar, and they can literally feel if you're uncomfortable or not.
Uh-huh.
And the dolphins will come up and just... like hang out, and they don't like jump like in SeaWorld, but they do that kind of like rolling, arcing, jumping. Mm-hmm. But
what do you think, Michael Evans?
I don't know. That's what I was going to ask. Did you consider that it was a dolphin, because you had definitely seen dolphins right thereafter, right?
Yeah, it was too small to be a dolphin. I've never really seen a baby dolphin or anything like that, but like if a dolphin was around you, you would really see it. Like it would surface. It would take breaths. It would play around and stuff like that.
You said it was too small to be a dolphin?
Yeah, it was probably about the size of this table. It was how big the fish was.
How about, you said you've had quite a few experiences with sharks. Were your other ones in similar scenarios, similar depth, similar vicinity to land?
Yeah, the other ones were always towards dinner time, because sharks eat when we eat. Like, sharks eat at night. Mm. Like, they eat from... They eat from like
really? Are you serious?
Yeah, they eat like from like.
You not seen Jaws?
No.
like 5 or 6 p.m.
Recollect it all being during dinner time. Midnight swim. It opens with the midnight swim, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, right? Yeah.
Question. Who was the comedian you said your mom wanted to be more, or the person your mom
Garrison
wanted?
Garrison Keillor.
Ken Lofgren just offered a fun fact that Erica Rhodes, who's been on our Ice House show before, is his niece.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's cool. Yeah.
Small
world. Yeah, she's a very funny lady.
I got to do a little bit part in the Prairie Home Companion movie, and I was filming all summer. And my mom, it was she actually got to come up and go on set and meet him. So it was like kind of full circle. That was like 10 years into stand-up.
What did you play?
I played the sarcastic stagehand.
Oh,
I was on stage at Acme.
I thought when you said that, I was like, "What's he like?" Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that guy's sarcastic and a stagehand. I wear a black T-shirt around all the time just to get recognized, you know, from that role. But yeah, the most of my stuff ended up getting cut out of that movie, but. That's like a whole other story.
Right.
When it premiered at Cannes, all my lines were in it, and then when it aired in the United States like I had no lines. But the opening sequence of the movie, literally, it's me rolling like a big rope, and that's how the movie opens. And so I bought tickets for all my friends in New York to go see it. And I was like, "Yeah, I'm a movie star. We got to go see this." And then I had no lines, and there was like. The That's group was so suck, silent.
Dude.
It sucked so bad.
You got pictures of you on there, though, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I have pictures of it.
That's the worst, because when I was married, my ex-husband, he was D.L. Hughley's manager, and we went to go see the premiere of Kings of Comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I'm in the movie. And I was like, okay, yeah, okay. And we go and we said the whole time, like how you were when you were in the meal, right? I'm in the movie. And he goes, okay, it's coming up. We're sitting there. It's coming up. And literally my eyes were like, you know, like the Flintstones when they put the toothpicks, like, you know, just to make sure, like, you see the whole thing. And I'm like, okay. And he goes, did you see me? I was like, no, I didn't see
him. Was he there?
He was like standing behind a potted plant for like a second. Something like that. But no, you get excited. And then when it's not there, it's like, oh.
Yeah, we just walked out of the movie silently together. And I was like, guys, I swear I was, they said I had lines at Cannes Film Festival. My friends were like, whatever. Like, it was terrible.
That's hilarious to think that one day you would grow up and say to someone, but I had lines at Cannes.
But I got to introduce my mom to Garrison Keillor, cool. And that was like a real like, see, Mom, I am good at comedy. I am like him. I'm in the same movie with him. It's his movie. I don't have lines, I guess, but.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I always thought it was, because I remember as a kid, that was one of those things that I thought I had learned. As far as dolphins.
Okay, like this could have went anywhere, by the way. I was like, what the fuck is she going to say?
This is a dental moment. You know how people have senior moments? This is a dental moment.
Okay, continue.
I realized that halfway through you didn't know what I was talking about. With dolphins, I used to always go around just spitting it out. Like I would go up to people and be like, guess what? Did you know that dolphins can save you from a shark?
Oh, really?
Yeah. But it's because I was told they could ram the shark with their snout.
Yeah. Mm.
Sharks. The bottlenose.
Yeah, sharks also don't like to be with the bottle.
The podcast really needed that piece of information, Jessica.
You're welcome.
Yeah. How do you beat a shark? By nuzzling it.
Sharks find pokes like a.
But I don't know.
If
I thought that ended up being like a kind of a wise tale.
Uh-huh.
Is it wive or wise?
I think it's a wives tale.
Yeah, wives tale.
Which is probably pretty sexist at this point. It's just something that we still say.
But not as sexist as a sex show with only mostly women. Mm-hmm. and one dude holding a chick like a bowling ball.
Yep.
I think we should take a vote. Michael Evans, what's your vote? Which one do you think is a lie and which one do you think is the truth?
I mean, I don't know. I don't want to just... they both feel pretty... I don't know. Maybe it's because Pete's such a nice dude. They both just don't feel like I want to call either of them out. I think that the Chappelle sounds, because of the mystery of what hanging out with him could be, it just sounds like that could be real.
Should we recap?
We didn't recap. That's true.
Yeah.
We should recap. Okay. Story one. They're very short. He's at the.
Austin was like, something feels odd. Where's my recap, bitch?
I was looking for the comments for something, but he's at the Cellar in NYC, and Dave Chappelle walks in and lights a cigarette, but then Pete questions the legality of him smoking indoors, and Dave Chappelle says, I can do what I want because I'm Dave Chappelle. Then he invites him to his party, but disappears into the night without giving his details. But Val from the Comedy Cellar gives it to him, and he later goes to the party, which is at a place called The Box, where a lady shot fire out of her clean-shaven box. And story two, a week ago it was his birthday, and he's surfing with Annie Letterman and some people, and he's in line to surf when this bikini lady comes up and starts flirting with him. His friend Becky comes up, and she knows he's in a relationship, so she C-blocks bikini lady for him. And they laugh when suddenly an alleged shark brushes by his leg, maybe a seal, maybe a dolphin, nobody knows. But thankfully, there's some dolphins there who are known protectors of human surfers, supposedly. And
they beat
the sharks up so that Becky and Pete could continue surfing. That's it.
The only thing, as far as the first story, like, it totally seems believable. How long have you been a regular at the Comedy Cellar?
Like 4 years.
Uh-huh. And that was the first time you'd met Chappelle?
Yeah, I'd never met him before. There are people there that come in. Like, I've never seen Jerry Seinfeld there before. But I met him at Gotham once. But
I would get. But Chappelle pops in all over the place all the time.
Yeah, he pops in all the time. I'm also one of the cleaner comics, so SD puts me on early in the lineup. You know how people always talk about here, like, oh, I'm new, I got to go on late? SD, if you're cleaner.
Well, I've been here forever.
But at the Cellar, it's almost like a reverse curse where if she finds out that you're clean, she'll put you on like the 7:30 show. So I was, and I've had a lot of late nights there. I've since then ran into him a lot. I've run into him here and talked to him and stuff. But
and here's my second question about that story. The more I was thinking about it, the more you said you were with one girl and then you broke up. And then a year later you met your wife. Your girl that you have now.
Now, yeah.
But then that's...
And he met her on the plane to go F Nikki.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, fuck. Look at that face. Look what she's...
Yeah, that seems... I don't know.
So you didn't end up sleeping with Nikki?
No, we ended up staying in the same hotel that night.
What a douchebag.
Yeah, what a douchebag. There was too much scar tissue. We started hanging out, and we were like, why are we nervous? This feels weird. This doesn't feel right. And then... I think it's because we weren't supposed to sleep together again. Like, we were just supposed to... We spent the whole weekend hanging out at the Hollywood Roosevelt. We, like, ordered room service. This was when she was, like, newly vegan, so she could still eat things because she wasn't fully transitioned. And we really bonded, and that's how we became best friends instead of, like, lovers and then future enemies again.
Right. But... I don't know. Let's take a vote. Anybody voting online there?
Yeah, so far they're split right down the middle. Half think first true, other first lie.
Is Leah on there?
Leah thinks first lie, second true. And Ken is the opposite way, and they're usually the biggest losers, which doesn't sound nice, but like they're usually like most often incorrect.
So he thinks the first story is true.
He thinks first story true. She thinks first story is a lie. Mm-hmm. I don't know who to believe.
Ken had a good run there for a minute.
Yeah, he did go on a streak. He went on like
Leah's
a five
had like
or six
one
game streak.
Right. I mean,
she's had more than one.
Host editor says first story
it's
is
pretty
a lie.
Low.
Yeah, first story is a lie. Yeah.
It's got to be kind of hard to tell with me because I'm somebody that I'll be like perfectly sober and a cop will pull me over and be like, "Have you been drinking?" And I'm like, "Oh God!" Like I feel like I'm lying even when I'm not. That's the thing with me.
But two years ago,
second story too, you were doing a lot of bounce in there for a minute.
I think that story was so much easier to just bullshit basically like he
the second story
yeah because he yeah. probably did go surfing with them and yeah. like they probably did have a bikini girl and all that and all yeah. he had to say was a shark grazed my
or that maybe it was a dolphin. At first he thought it was a shark then realized it was a dolphin
or maybe nothing did at all and they were just surfing
Or maybe not easier to bullshit, easier to recall because it was so recent.
Maybe, but I think I've noticed a pattern with sort of humble brag stories that those tend to be true because you want people to know those. And I would want people to know that I watched a girl shoot fire out of her box with Dave Chappelle.
So which one are you saying is the humble brag?
The first, that one.
Right? Okay, that one. I was like, oh, I thought you were saying like the second one because he gave more description.
No, I would say the first one would be more humble braggish, and that one's probably true because, you know, you would want to tell that story. And the other one was just easy because he could recall it easier.
Right. But then for Chappelle to have like, to do that kind of party in the middle of Me Too, or right when the Me Too thing moves?
I don't think Me Too applies to Chappelle.
I don't think Dave gives a fuck about that kind of thing.
He's the guy that smokes indoors. He's not following.
He said, I can smoke wherever I want, and I can have parties of whatever kind during whatever era I like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I could totally see him saying that. I could see that maybe happening when you've another time. I don't know. The timing seems odd that you're a regular at the Comedy Cellar for 4 years, and it took you 2 years to meet Chappelle. And it's not like here where, you know, people can hide in all sorts of crevices. You know what I mean? It's like that table or you're downstairs.
How long do you have to be there until you get to sit at the table? I've heard Bobby Kelly talk about the table a lot. So
you can sit there right away once you're past like that night. But it takes a while for you to be able to invite other people to sit with you. You know, so like I remember when I first got past, I couldn't like if a friend was there with me, I couldn't be like, yeah, sit down with us. It takes a long time for you to be able to recommend people too. Like I finally this year can recommend people for the Cellar.
I'm going to say, I'm going to just be bold and say the first story is a lie. I'm always wrong, by the way, Pete. I'm going to say the first story is the lie. What do you think, Jessica?
Jessica's vote brought to you by Burger King and painkillers.
Felicia, I'm going with you. I'm going to say I'm going to say that second story. I'm going to say that he really think that they really felt like a shark was near them the other day. Because I mean, if it's not true, it's just like Pete might. What would you go like? How would you define that not true? You would go, I didn't think that was a shark. That happened, but I don't think that was a shark.
No, that the shark never even happened. He just added that little detail. He was serving.
But it felt like that happened. There is pictures of Annie Letterman on the beach.
Well, yeah, right, they were there. The shark just wasn't there.
All right, well, all right. You're right. I suck at this game, too, though, to be
fair. So what are you saying? So you're saying the first story is a lie?
I'm saying first story is a lie, second story is true.
I'm going to say the second story is a lie just because how his knee started bouncing a whole lot.
Yeah, maybe he was having flashbacks of the horror of a unknown fish brushing his inner
thigh. Yeah, PTSD from the shark.
PTSS.
PTSC. All right, and Austin, you said what again?
First story is true.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Are we all voted out? We're ready?
So.
Okay. Which story is the lie?
The second story is the lie.
God damn it.
Always wrong.
I tried to gift wrap that for you.
I told you. Hey, man, like, you got to take chances in life, man. Okay? You know? When everyone's going the same way, I'm like, won't I be a hero if, you know?
Don't be a hero.
You guys should pay attention to body language.
It's funny because I do bounce when I lie or when I'm nervous. And when you said bouncing, I was like, gosh, she noticed. You noticed I was bouncing. I was definitely bouncing. I turn into a bobblehead when I'm lying. I'm like, hey.
So, on the lie, was there any part of that lie that was true?
In the lie, so I really did go surfing. You were right.
With Annie Letterman?
With Becky Robinson.
But not Annie Letterman.
Well, Becky Robinson was the one that I said was out in the water. Annie Letterman was on the beach with my girlfriend.
Yeah, okay.
They were hanging out and taking pictures. And the thing with the bikini girl did happen, but the shark thing did not happen. But there were dolphins swimming near us.
Uh-huh.
So like the key part of the story was not true.
The shark.
Shark.
Yeah. No
so
shark.
You didn't stand, you didn't get on your hands and knees on the surfboard.
No,
that,
I didn't.
Now looking back, that's fucking just stupid that no one said anything about that. God, I'm so bad at that.
But I will say that the shark rubbing me is something in one of my other shark encounters, I got bumped by the shark, but it was multiple times that because sharks, before they bite you, they want to play with you. Like, they actually really like to fuck with you.
Uh-huh.
And they also want to see what you are before they take a bite of it. So I was down in Myrtle Beach, and I got bumped by a shark several times, and then a wave came, and then I surfed it in. And that's – so, like, I took from a different experience to tell that lie because I'm so bad at lying Like, I'm some...
You used your shark expertise.
I use my shark expertise for this.
Oh, my God. She loves it, by the way. You know, she... I always say to people, she likes monkey videos and, like, Russian apartments and, like...
She likes it so much that now Diddy Kong or whatever that little monkey's name is...
Monkey Boo?
Monkey Boo, yeah. Something like that is popping up on my Facebook suggested videos now.
Yeah. Anyway. Well, wow. Thank you so much for stopping by and sharing those two stories. Is there anything that you have coming up that maybe our listeners would like to know about or you want to
stir
them to that?
I'm at Comics Foxwoods this weekend, headlining over there in Connecticut. So go to my website, petelee.net. I'm at the University of Indianapolis on September 13th. People can come see that. Please follow me on Instagram. That's kind of the score that matters in entertainment.
I heard on Fighter and the Kid that he was saying that the followers is going to go away.
Really?
Like, we're going to be the only ones that can see it.
That'll be great. I think that,
will it?
I think that's great because I think it's sort of a bullshit metric that people, like TV networks are giving people things or not, or looking at people or not, because they think that they can reach, 100,000 people or whatever. But most of the people that I know that have a lot of followers started out with at least 50,000 fake ones. So it's like, it's a bullshit metric anyway.
Really?
I mean, like Nikki has 300,000 and those are 3,000 real ones.
Right.
I know a lot of people that have like 30,000 that it's just, they're mostly bots, but.
Wow.
But please follow me on Instagram. I'm Petelee. This metric means the world to me. I really want you to follow me so that I can have this number go up right now for while it matters.
Wonderful. And what about you, Austin?
I'm at the Austin Walker on everything. We've got some exciting stuff coming up at the Comedy Store September 25th and October 29th, right? I think our show's in the Belly Room. So be looking out for that so you can get your tickets. Follow us on Instagram, The Liars Club 1, and Twitter, Liars_Club. And, of course, subscribe to YouTube for us in the Comedy Store.
Wonderful. What about you, Michael, with your goofy Twitter handle?
It's not that goofy. It's just a little name in a couple of letters. Check me out at High Five Michael on Instagram. That's, again, I mean, that's the one I care about. I don't tweet, as I think what she's referring to, so I don't give a shit about my Twitter.
MICLBC or something like that. I've written it down enough in the tweets that I get it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know it. And if I don't start it on the Liars Club to Twitter, then I'm screwed. I can't find him.
It's a weird name.
Man, how embarrassing.
Yeah, no, it's not, because you have an amazing Instagram. I am Felicia Michaels, and you can follow me. No, you do have a good Instagram.
Appreciate it.
You can follow me at Felicia Michaels all across the board. Please do me a favor. Yes, I'm going to talk about it once more. If you have Amazon Prime, go see Pervs. It's on Amazon Prime. You can see it for free if you do have Prime, and you could leave a little review. It's a documentary I made with a bunch of amazing comedians like Felipe Esparza, Joey Diaz, Lori Kilmartin, and it's all about deviance. Please go give that a look-see.
She's very sweet today, huh?
I've been sweet.
You're like extra sweet today.
Let's hope this carries over for the editing days.
I'm so mean to Austin. Go ahead.
You got your hair done and it's just like, well, I'm just Felicia.
Your hair does look really great.
Oh, thank you.
You have luxurious salon quality hair.
Thank you. It comes out of a box. And I'm completely serious.
So did his first story.
Yeah. Thank you. Line of the show.
All right, we'll wrap it up on that. That was good. Follow me at Jess Wellington 2 on everything. Thank you guys for listening. Please subscribe to the Liars Club on YouTube. Just take 1 second and flip over to our YouTube and subscribe, please. And you have been lied to.
I'm not telling that one.
Disney, believe me. You're the real liar. Please stand up.
Right? She's totally serious.
And you have been lied to.